And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Now I want you to notice verse 36. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you again for your preciousness and your grace. We thank you, God, for what a wonderful Savior you are. We ask you now that as we look at your word, that we would be drawn close, Father, to your heart. That, Father, we might, God, be in tune with you today. That, God, we might, Father, just draw near to our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, here these guys are, they're grown men, you know. And they're going down the road. They've been traveling with Jesus. I mean, Jesus has been doing the miracles, you know. He's been making blind people see and dumb people talk and deaf people hear and lame people walk. He's been doing all this stuff. And, you know, he's doing all of it. And they're just there, and they're getting to listen to the preaching and the teaching and getting to see the mighty hand of God in their midst. And as they're walking down the road following Jesus, well, of course, they only have the best topic of conversation on the road, right? They're only talking about how wonderful it is that Jesus does all these things. Isn't it wonderful how he taught the other day? That's not what they're doing, is it? They're walking down the road saying, well, you know, I'm the most important one in the group. You know, I mean, I am the glue that holds all this together. That's what they're doing. They're walking down the road disputing over who's the greatest. I mean, they all had Muhammad Ali syndrome. You know, I mean, he is always talking about how great he was. And so here these guys are, the grown men, walking behind Jesus. And you know, sometimes it's the way, you know, that's the way we are. We get so full of our own importance. Man, we just think so highly of ourselves. And I find it amazing that when Jesus asked him, what were you talking about? Nobody said anything. Because they all knew when he asked that question. Wrong answer. They didn't say nothing. Now, you know, you'd think they'd figured out by now, too, that they didn't need to say anything. He already knew. He only asked them questions he already knew the answers to. You know? I mean, you ever notice that? He always asked them questions. He already knew the answers. Of course, he's God. He should know the answers. But, you know, that's what he would do. He'd ask them questions that he already knew the answers to, and he knew they weren't going to say anything. So he brought this little picture into play. He called them in and he sat them down. He said, yeah, son, sit down for a minute. I want to show you something. So they're all sitting there. What's Jesus going to show us? Is he going to make some fish or bread multiply? Or what's he going to do? Has he got some crippled guy that he's going to make walk? What's he going to do? And so they sit down. And he says to them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Which is not the way we think at all. But I want you to notice, he took a child. He took a child. Sarah, come here. Come here. Come here. Hello. This is a child. You're a child, aren't you? Are you a child? You are. So he took a child. And she came up here and
Of course, first thing she did is give her daddy a hug, which is a good thing for daddy. He likes that. But she's just standing here. You notice she's standing here. She has no idea why I've called her up here. She's just standing here because daddy called her. She has no idea, no clue. It doesn't matter to her. You know, if we're going to come to Jesus, we have to come as a child. Just because daddy called. Don't know what for, but whatever it is okay. Because daddy called me to it. I've got to come as a child. And he said, unless you come this way, it's the only way to come. He's like a little child. But it says he took the child, sat in front of him, and then, notice what it says, took him in his arms. He took him in his arms. You see, if I just set her out here like this, she, of course, this is Sarah, but any normal child might be a little apprehensive in front of a group of men just sitting there looking at her. Jesus, the whole time, was thinking about the child. Teaching the disciples, but he thought about the child. Set him out, and then took him in his arms. Can you picture the Savior taking the child in his arms? Can you see that? Do you understand? This is the relationship God wants with you. He wants to take you in his arms. He's not just set you out by yourself with all the wolves. He's there with you. And he has you in his arms. I want you to keep that picture in your mind. Thank you, Sarah. Go sit down, please. I want you to keep that picture in your mind. I want you to keep that in your mind. Jesus took the child, set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms. And I want you to have that picture and go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 33. Chapter number 33. The Bible says this in verse 26, there is none like unto God, the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. And wasn't that what Jesus was being to that child when he took a hold of him in his arms? Wasn't he being a refuge? Wasn't he saying, if you want to get to this child, you got to go through me. Who's thy refuge? And underneath, look at this, are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also of heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. There are three things that I'd like for you to understand about being in the arms of Jesus. Being in the arms of Jesus. First of all, that there is power in the arms of Jesus. There's power. You know, Sarah could probably tell you a child feels safe in the arms of their mom or dad. Because they feel strength there. That's the way God wants you and I to feel. He wants us to have that confidence of the power of God, the power to protect us. He is a refuge, the Bible says. He's a place where you and I can go for protection. He has the power not just to protect us. He has the power to push away the enemy. He says, thou shalt thrust out the enemy from before thee with those mighty arms of God. And shall say, destroy them. Not just to push them away, but to put them out. I'm so thankful. I don't serve a God who I have to kill people for. God doesn't need me to do any killing. If He wants somebody dead, He'll take care of it. Matter of fact, He's already got everybody an appointment for death. There's appointed on a man who wants to die. Everybody's got a date in God's appointment book of death. So I don't have to worry about that. I'm glad I serve a God who is able to thrust my enemies from me and put them out. Amen. That's the God I serve. It's not like this Allah, whoever He is. He's not God. He never gave Himself for my sin. He never did anything for me. He does nothing for His followers. Nothing. Until they die. Maybe. If you're a guy. If you're a girl, tough luck. What kind of God is that? No God. That's why I know He's not a God. He thinks like a man. My God does not think like I do. Not at all. He is beyond me. That's why I can rest in those everlasting arms of Christ. Because they are powerful. Not only that, but in His arms, there's plenty. There's plenty in the arms of God. He said, there Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also as heavens shall drop down dew. You know, when Jesus was holding that child in His arms, everything that Jesus had was available to that child. At that moment, Jesus could have said, bring this child a glass of water. Bring this child something. He could have done, He could have said anything He wanted, and those 12 guys would have got up and gotten that child anything Jesus said to get him. Those are arms of plenty. Arms of plenty. You know, they said, I like the song, He loves me like I was His only child. He said, the song says, He loves me like I was His only child. Never been so loved before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was His only child. That's the way God loves each one of us. That's the way it feels. That's the way it seems. That my relationship with Him, no one else has. And that's the truth. That's why it says, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. It's not talking about loneliness. It's talking about the singleness of care and love and affection that God has for each one of us. Just a singular attention that God can give me and He can give it to you and all at the same time. His arms are arms of plenty. He said, the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. That means they got corn and grapes, amen. Plenty to eat. His heaven shall drop down dew, and that's what they need to feed it on. See, God is, as the Bible says, all in all. I have no lack. All I need is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I have all. Amen. The Bible says, He says, He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not also by Him freely? And the Bible says, give us all things. In Christ, I inherit it all.
And then thirdly, notice what it says. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places.
Now, I don't know, but when Sarah was up here and I was holding her in my arms, she didn't look distressed, did she? Did she look unhappy? No, that's because in his arms there's praise. There's joy. There's rejoicing in the Lord, in his arms. Just like Sarah, you know, she came up and gave me that hug and a little kiss on my cheek, all that kind of stuff. Because she's glad to see her dad. And I'm sure that when that child, when Jesus took that child in his arms, that child felt a sense of happiness. That he wasn't being brought out to be ridiculed. He wasn't being brought out to suffer alone or anything like that. He was brought out and brought into the arms of Jesus. And I don't doubt the child knew something of who he was. Everybody's talking about it. There's praise in those arms. He says, happy art thou. Who? The people who have been saved. Amen? If you've been saved, you should be happy in the arms of Jesus. He said, the people who have been shielded. Have you ever had God deliver you, protect you? People who are shielded. And he said, and who is the sword of thy excellency. See, it wasn't them winning the battles, it was him. It was his arm that wields the sword. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's a sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? And he's the one who gives the victory through it. It's because of him. It's the Word of God. It's not. I don't have to be smart and clever. The Word of God shows the lies of the world. The Word of God does it. And you know, and every time I ever tell somebody something out of the Word of God, oh, they might try to argue it for a minute, but once I lay down enough scripture, they're done talking. Why? Because the truth of the Word of God silences them. Because you say something and God gives you the scripture, and eventually you give them a verse of scripture that they do not want to comment on. Because if they go there, they know the jig is up. So they say nothing. See, I praise God. He's so much smarter than all their enemies. And he says, thou shalt tread upon their high places. And what that means is, see, what they did when the heathens, they had all their altars of false gods built on high hills. All right? And they said, well, this is my strength, and this God's my strength, and this God's my strength. But the Bible says that when we use the Word of God, when we live for God, that He allows us to tread on their high places. And that doesn't mean we're walking around there worshiping. It means we're treading, we're tromping them down. Amen? Evolution's dead. God's allowing us to tromp it down. And they'll keep screaming it because they like to tell the lies. It's like I was talking to somebody one time, and how many of you remember in your biology book, they showed the pictures of the embryos and they all had gill slits? How many of you remember that? Even they said the human embryo even had gill slits. Well, they've proven those aren't gill slits. Okay? I mean, it's a scientific medical fact. Biological fact. The human baby embryos do not have gill slits. But they still put it in the sciences books that way. Why? Because they're still trying to tell the same lies. But I thank God the lie is over. Amen. Amen. I tell people that and they say, really? Yeah. Look it up. They can go look it up on the internet and find out they aren't gill slits. See, God is smarter than men. And everything in here gives us the victory to tread upon their high places. Don't ever let somebody make you afraid to tell the truth of the Word of God. You need to tread on those high places, because that's something God's promised us, is that victory, that power to worship Him in every high place. Not the false gods. I praise God for all the good things in my life. Nothing in my life that has come to me that is good has come from anywhere but God. Nowhere. Only Him. There's praise in those arms. Happiness. Satisfaction. Amen. Just like a little child. Let's all stand to our feet for just a few minutes this afternoon.